Hey, I'm Tyler with the Sports Stop. You're here to listen to me talk about sports, right? Okay, let's talk.
All right, let's jump right into it, everybody. Super Wild Card Weekend. We are going to be going through Saturday and Sunday's games and just kind of doing a quick recap of what this means for the game and what this means for each team going forward. So, obviously, we're going to be starting with Saturday's game. So the Niners versus Seahawks and then Jaguars versus Chargers. And then on Sunday, obviously, we had a couple slated games. We had the Bills versus Dolphins, Giants versus Vikings, and Bengals versus Ravens on Sunday. Obviously, the Monday night game, Dallas and Tampa Bay. That game I will cover, obviously, tomorrow like we usually do on a Monday night game. So let's start off with Saturday's games. We're going to start in chronological order. Basically, just go however the times went for these games. So we're going to start with the Niners and Seahawks. So basically, the 49ers pummeled the Seattle Seahawks 41-23 as 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy put on a show in the second half, throwing four touchdowns. He had four touchdowns, and he had a great overall game. Great overall game. Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel also stepped up hugely and both had great games. They both had over 100 yards from scrimmage. And they really helped Brock Purdy, you know, take some of that pressure off of him as a rookie quarterback. Obviously, the big stat that everybody was talking about with Brock Purdy was rookie quarterbacks were 1-8 in their first playoff game. Obviously, you saw with like Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, all that, you know, type of deal. And Brock Purdy put on a show, particularly in the second half. That's where it was really, really crazy. They outscored the Seahawks by double digits in the second half. Because the first half, it was a pretty nip-and-tuck game for the most part, and particularly in the second quarter. Because the 49ers jumped out to a very early lead, and the Seahawks came rallying back in the second quarter. But the second half was just all about the 49ers, and that's what the 49ers can do to any team. They can pretty much just have one good half of football and completely knock out a team. It's kind of like what, you know, some of these top-tier teams in the AFC as well can do, like the Bills, the Bengals, the Chiefs. Those are the teams that can, you know, have one good half of football, string it together, and the other three quarters does not matter what they did. There's only like four teams, five teams possibly in this league that can have one good half of football and wreck a whole game for the other team. So credit to the 49ers. They completely, you know, outplayed the Seahawks in the second half. And Kyle Shanahan did his thing coaching. So obviously that's just kind of the 49ers thing. Seahawks, they played a great game, but obviously, you know, you have Geno Smith and the Seahawks, they overachieved this year. So they can't really be mad about how their season ended. Obviously, many people predicted, like personally me, I was completely wrong about the Seahawks. I thought the Seahawks would be a bottom four team in the league, get a top four draft pick and, you know, kind of rebuild the defense and offense a little bit, get some pieces. And maybe in 2 or 3 years, they could be back to a decent team. But no, they really overachieved this year. And they've done pretty well. We're going to talk about another overachieving team next up. The Jacksonville Jaguars versus Los Angeles Chargers. This was the crazy Saturday night game. Trevor Lawrence had an awful first half where he threw four interceptions, a career high for Trevor Lawrence. Four interceptions, which was atrocious, as the Jacksonville Jaguars were down 27-0 in the first half. And they came rallying back to win the game 31-30, which is crazy, obviously. I think it's the third biggest, you know, margin of a comeback in playoff history in the NFL. I know one of them was obviously the Super Bowl, Tom Brady, and, you know, Matt Ryan and the Falcons, that one. And the other one was the Colts and Chiefs. I think it was 2014. where Andrew Luck had a great, you know, game. But anyways, so I think this kind of officially puts Brandon Staley's time as a head coach for the Chargers to an end. Obviously, if the Chargers lost, but they lost by, you know, maybe like a field goal, and this was just a nip and tuck game, I think he would have probably kept his job for maybe another year. But you can't blow a 27-point lead in the second half to lose the game. So I think Brandon Staley's out. I think, you know, Sean Payton is probably going to want to go to the Chargers, but I don't know if Chargers ownership, they've always been cheap with, you know, head coaches. So I doubt they're going to want to pay, you know, $18 to $20 million a year for Sean Payton. I highly doubt that, and still be paying Brandon Staley because paying out his contract, they fire him. So I don't think that's what the Chargers are going to get. I don't think they're getting a Sean Payton, but we'll see. So that's kind of the Chargers' future. Obviously, they have a pretty ready-made roster. I think they're just kind of a coach away. And what really sucks is Brian Daboll was a potential candidate instead of Brandon Staley for this Chargers job. And imagine what Brian Daboll would be doing with this Chargers team if he was their head coach. Talk about Jacksonville a little bit. Obviously, I, you know, covered Trevor Lawrence had 4 interceptions in the first half. He completely turned around the second half. He threw 4 touchdowns and no picks in the second half, leading to the Jaguars' comeback. And they are now officially playing the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round. So obviously on either Thursday or Friday, I will be covering, you know, my divisional round, you know, predictions like I did last week with the wild card weekend. And we'll be, you know, kind of seeing how my prediction laid out with the wild card weekend. So obviously Trevor Lawrence, even though many would say, why did he play so poorly? Overall, he didn't play great, many would say. I think he actually played pretty well for the fact of he didn't give up. Many players would just be like, we're down 27-0 at halftime. They could literally just run the ball in the second half, get the game done, and that's it, and we're going home. But no, Trevor Lawrence stuck in it, never a doubt, kept going, and he led them to a comeback. So overall, even though Trevor Lawrence really didn't have a great game on paper, I think this is actually a huge win for Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. I think this gives them some great momentum. I don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs, but I think it gives them pretty good momentum to feel good about themselves. And obviously, just like the Seahawks, I think they're actually a year ahead of where they should be. I thought Jacksonville next year would have potentially made the playoffs, but they are very overachieving this year. So that is Saturday's wild card games. Next up, let's go to the 3 Sunday games. So obviously we're going to quickly cover these, and we're going to quickly go through them and, you know, give my thoughts on each. So Buffalo Bills versus Miami Dolphins. That was the 1 o'clock window game. The Buffalo Bills beat the Miami Dolphins 34-31 in a shootout. Who would have thought this was going to be such a close game? Obviously, I thought this was going to be a Bills win by double digits. And no, I was completely wrong, which credit to, you know, the Dolphins, they stuck in it. You know, most, or basically, I would say 90 to 95% of media members and Bills fans and fans around the league thought Buffalo was going to win by at least double digits. And I also thought that. I will say when I'm wrong, I thought Buffalo was going to win by double digits. You know, you just look at how the Bills have been playing recently, how bad the Dolphins have been playing recently, especially with, you know, Tua's situation. And they're starting a third-string quarterback who's a rookie against the Bills. I did not think this was going to be such a close game. And I think this is more of the fact of Josh Allen has really become turnover-prone in the last, you know, month and a half. And ever since Brian Daboll has went to the Giants this year, Josh Allen has really reverted back to he's this roller coaster effect. he's going to have, you know, a couple of touchdowns, a couple crazy plays each game. But then he'll also have some mistakes, you know, two turnovers, three turnovers, potentially a game where you're like, what are you doing? You're throwing the game away or you're giving the game away to the other team. And that's what he kind of did to the Dolphins today. He gave them a chance to come back in this game and make it a good one. So obviously the Bills secondary starting to get a little bit banged up. Obviously Dane Jackson, he had a knee injury, so we'll see what happens with that. It's not a bad injury, so I think he'll play next week. I think he plays the Bengals. The Buffalo Bills and Bengals will, you know, play in the divisional round, so that'll be a great, you know, rematch that we never got to see because of the whole, you know, DeMar Hamlin thing situation. Obviously, I don't want to really cover that right now, but so Buffalo Bills versus Cincinnati Bengals, that is going to be a huge, huge game. So if the Bills turn it over, you know, two, three times a game next week versus the Bengals, I think the Bengals are going to take it home. But obviously, we're going to cover the Bengals in a few moments. We'll talk about them. Next up, we had the afternoon game. My New York Giants versus the Minnesota Vikings. I picked this game as an upset. Obviously, what kind of was concerning me was most of the media was predicting this was going to be the upset of the weekend. And the more, you know, throughout the week that more people have picked it as an upset game, it kind of, you know, reversed the roles. The Giants, even though they didn't become the betting favorites, the Giants were kind of the favorites in the media as a whole. And the Vikings kind of turned into the underdogs. We just thought, you know, everybody had about the same prediction. Kirk Cousins in a playoff game, you don't really trust him. He's more of a 1 o'clock quarterback, not a big game quarterback. And the Vikings have the second worst defense in the league, particularly a very bad run defense. And what do the Giants do well? They run the ball. They're a run-first team. So between Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, they're a running-first team. And that's pretty much what you saw. The New York Giants are advancing to the divisional round as they beat the Minnesota Vikings 31-24. Daniel Jones had a great game. I think this potentially gets Daniel Jones a 2 to 3 year extension with the Giants. If I was the Giants, and if I'm being realistic, I'm signing Daniel Jones to a 3 year, you know, $75 million contract with about 50, 45 million guaranteed. I think that's very realistic for Daniel Jones. I don't think he's in the $30 million range as a quarterback. Now, the Giants may have to pay him $30 million a year just because a team may be like, if you can put the right coach with Daniel Jones, you can go somewhat far with Daniel Jones as your quarterback. Daniel Jones had a great game. He had two passing touchdowns. He had great, great game for on the ground. He had like over like 70 yards just on the ground alone. So Daniel Jones had a great game. Now, do I think the Giants overachieved? Yes. I think they're just a better version of the Seattle Seahawks, to be honest. I think that's what they are. And I think they are a year ahead of where they should be, just like the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's kind of, you know, a little bit weird how I just worded that. But I think they're kind of a year ahead of where they should be, just for the fact of it's a rebuilding roster. Dave Gettleman really, you know, screwed the team with, you know, the cap space and cap situation. Obviously, this team could be miles better if we still had James Bradbury and we didn't just have to cut him and he went to the Eagles, because he was a Pro Bowl corner for us. And with our defensive coordinator, his last name is Winkendale or something. He's from the Ravens. Obviously, this Giants team is very good, and they are going to head to the Philadelphia Eagles next weekend, which will be a very good game. Now, I do predict that the Eagles are going to win. A little spoiler alert, the Eagles are probably going to win. I give them like an 80% chance to win. But I think the Giants are doing really well this season. So what this means for the Giants. They're a year ahead of their rebuild. And the Vikings, we kind of suspected over the last, you know, month that they were kind of the team that, you know, you have this team every year. Their record isn't what the team is. And that was what the Vikings are. The Vikings were a 12-4 team that were more of like a 10-7 team disguised. They were a 13-4 team, sorry. They're more of a 10-7 team. They just won so many games by one score. And, you know, you have this team every year that wins so many one-score games. And their record is better than what the team actually is. So that was the Vikings this year. Next year, we'll see what team that is. But lastly, the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Baltimore Ravens. This game, honestly, was probably, it was a decent game. It was more of a great effort by the Bengals defense, if I'm being honest. Obviously, you had that crazy play late in the fourth quarter with Tyler Huntley trying to leap over the offensive line and, you know, try to, you know, take the lead. And it was a complete swing. The Ravens were trying to take a 24-17 lead on the Bengals, and Tyler Huntley fumbles, and, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals scoop and score 98 yards the other way, and the Bengals take a 24-17 lead, and that pretty much wrapped up the game. No other scores happened after that. I think Cincinnati's starting to get in a little bit of trouble with their offensive line, just for the fact of you have Lyle Collins, he's out. You have Alex Kappa, the guard, he's out. And then one of their other offensive linemen, I forget his name, but he also got injured during this game. So you're starting to, you know, see the Bengals kind of turn back into last year's team where they have all the playmakers in the world, but they're going to struggle to protect Joe Burrow because of a weak offensive line. And I think Lyle Collins was the big nail in the coffin with that, just because he was their best offensive lineman throughout the whole year. So I think the Bengals are starting to slip up a little bit. And that was, even though the Ravens are a good team and they have a great, great defense, they have a top three defense ever since they traded for Roquan Smith, I was a little bit skeptical about that whole situation, about that whole trade and, you know, situation. They have turned into a completely different defense with Roquan Smith. So even though you have a really good Ravens team, that was without Lamar Jackson, which is somewhat scary. Because Lamar Jackson playing this game, I think the Ravens maybe could have won it. I would have given them a 50-50 shot to win. So obviously a crazy game, even with quarterback Tyler Huntley. It was a one-score game. So we're going to see what happens. Obviously, the Ravens go home. The Ravens could be possibly one of the biggest, you know, different teams next year. They could either be a really good team, or they can kind of, you know, retool the whole team, and particularly the offense, or they can just completely, you know, go all in. Because Lamar Jackson, that situation's looking worse and worse by the week. And then, you know, the offense is just so Lamar dependent and they don't have any wide receivers. We'll see what happens with that. So credit to the Bengals. They won it. They advanced to the divisional round and they will play the Buffalo Bills. So that is my Saturday and Sunday crazy wild card weekend recap. Obviously, like I said, we'll do the Bucks and Cowboys tomorrow. And hope you guys enjoyed wild card weekend. Have a great week. And peace.